Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On his case that's in production now. And here's the reality of this, though. This kid's traumatized. And he looks to me to be suffering from PTSD. He has to do two things at one time. He has to attend to his physical safety, first and foremost, obviously. But he also needs to attend to his mental health. And the problem is, he will probably get swept up in his newfound fame. And Tucker Carlson won't be the last of it. The more he does this, the more he veers off course from attending to his traumatized psyche. And the more that happens, the more at risk he will be for more problems like drugs, alcohol, and running with a bad crowd. He may be able to successfully bring libel lawsuits against the many media who called him a murderer and a white supremacist. And like Nick Sandman, win substantial settlements or judgments. One of the memes I've seen out there is that him and Sandman have agreed to share custody of CNN, for example. But then we have to be worried about sudden wealth at the hands of a youngster who's unprepared for it. That can be at best a mixed blessing and at worst an invitation to disaster. All kinds of predators are attracted to such people, and they offer seductions of the literal and figurative kind. And the sad histories of the many big-ticket lottery winners, usually older than Kyle Rittenhouse, are instructive, and usually they're not coping with the psychological obstacle facing Kyle. So, what he did was textbook in a tactical sense. And at the same time, looking at his future, this was something he was never prepared to be. He might have been resolute and upstanding for a young person, but this is not something he was trained to be. So I'd say things look risky, given how much pressure there will be and the threats that will continue to be leveled against him. Coupled with how lots of people, good and bad, are going to want a piece of him. And the problem is, and we saw this with Zimmerman as well, sometimes you slide off course, way off course. So now, after justice has been done, and justice has been done, now he's just being objectified by the left and the right. The left has turned him into a demon, and some on the right are raising him on a pedestal. And he's just a person, and he's a young person at that. And disaster always looms when somebody takes and turns another into a cartoon and imbues them with all sorts of exaggerated traits. Now, Kyle Rittenhouse is aware of how people are either vilifying him or idealizing him. But even so, coping with that requires a lot of wisdom and maturity. And that, unfortunately, that's two traits that he hasn't had time to develop. And there's lots of traps ahead for him, unfortunately, waiting to draw him in. And that's too bad that that has to be that way. But it is definitely that way. It is definitely that way. And the biggest part about this that bothers me the most is that this was never about Kyle Rittenhouse. And we're going to talk about that next. This was never about him specifically. This was about their attempt to chill armed self-defense. Because in order for what they're trying to do right now to succeed, that's got to go away. We'll get on that when we get back. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. All right. Nice, funky bass line. I like that. Ingalls Markets Talk Line, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning Text Line is 71307. All during this trial, it was, you know, Rittenhouse was the avatar there, but it was never about Rittenhouse. He was just the one that would have paid the big price. This was the right of self-defense that was on trial. So the question becomes, and I mean, I actually got asked to be on other radio shows because people are like, well, what is self-defense? To what extent does man, and this is the question, what does he have a natural or God-given right to protect himself with self-defense and protection of himself and his property? And this is not a new question. This has been jostled about like a volleyball for thousands of years. And that issue, not guns, by the way. Guns are simply an instrument of self-defense. That issue is at the heart of the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. The United States is the only nation ever in the annals of mankind to be established on the basis of a political and social philosophy centered on natural or God-given rights. And among those are self-defense and property. Property rights are the bedrock of the American political system. Without that foundation, there is no freedom. And the founders held that property rights encompass not just physical property, but also your life, your labor, your speech, your livelihood. As individuals own their own lives, and therefore they must own the products of that life, which can be traded in free exchange with others at your leisure. They also thought that further, as there's a natural right of self-preservation, you have the right and duty to defend yourself against transgressors, including the state, that would deny, abrogate, or unlawfully steal your property. And all of that, you know, as soon as that was established over the past 160 years, the statists, including the current iteration of the American left, have marched in lockstep to what Karl Marx espoused in his Communist Manifesto. The theory of communism may be summed up in a single sentence: abolition of private property. He contended that one's labor or livelihood, and by extension your life, is not private property and is thus subordinate to the common good to be determined by the state. So therefore, the individual has no God-given and unconstrained right of self-defense against an individual or government, as that right can be utilized to counter or oppose the common good. Opposing views regarding the purpose of the state and individual property right, including self-defense, that's been being tossed around for 2,500 years. The Greek philosopher Plato called for a communal social order in which property is held in common, that being the state, and that human nature can and should be molded and transformed to benefit the state. So thus you became subservient to the state. You couldn't exercise any form of self-preservation except that acceptable to the state. But then came Aristotle. He argued that if property is held in common and man cannot, therefore, exercise his right of self-preservation, Then there exists the potential for animosity and anger. And further, man possesses a human nature that cannot be molded or transformed to some ideal of a perfect state. The laws of nature and the rule of law demand that government should govern for the good of the people, not for the good of those in power. And that's been the volleyball game all this time. But now the underlying philosophical battle over the role of self-defense was waged in the 17th century in Britain between Thomas Hobbes and John Locke. Thomas Hobbes published his seminal work Leviathan in 1651. And in it, he described man's essential nature as one of aggression, avarice, destruction, and near constant war. So, therefore, an all-powerful sovereign was paramount in order to protect against and repel this base human nature. He did acknowledge the right of self-defense, but he thought there could be no agreement on what constituted legitimate self-defense. John Locke published his second treatise of government in 1690. And in contrast to Hobbes, he wrote that an individual has a natural right to his property, which encompassed one's life, labor, and speech. So, on the issue of natural right of self-defense, Locke claimed that men are intended to live as freely as possible without interference from anyone or anything else. And there's a right to self-defense that obligates man to defend himself from those individuals and governments who seek to infringe upon his natural liberty. The founders were greatly influenced by the writings of Aristotle and Locke, among others. So when they drafted the Constitution, they assumed the recognition of the God-given right of self-preservation being self-evident and not in need of any sort of enumeration. But Alexander Hamilton wrote in Federalist 28, "If the representatives of the people betray their constituents, there is no recourse left but in the exertion of that original right of self-defense, which is paramount to all positive forms of government." But the man who proposed the Bill of Rights as the first 10 amendments to the Constitution were insistent that this inalienable right of the individual be recognized in clear and unambiguous language. "The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." Thus, they codified the natural right of self-preservation, including the possession of property and self, and that you can use virtually any implement of self-defense to do it. That was their intention. They were steeped in the history of mankind. They knew what they were talking about. The right of self-defense won, by the way, in that particular trial. When we get back, crime is spiking in L.A., but you should just be a good victim. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. I like that whole nostalgia thing. I've got nostalgia coming for you in the next 2 hours. But not yet. Ingles Markets Talk Line is 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning Text Line is 71307. Now, just talking about how self-defense was actually what was on trial in Kenosha. Let me give you a contrast for this, if I may. See, in California, there is no right to self-defense. They would argue. But they'll actually get out there. The local law enforcement will get out there and tell you that crime is up. Murder is up 30%. And we're letting criminals out of jail at a high rate in L.A., the local district attorney is releasing a 24-year-old convicted murderer who served 6 years of a 50-year sentence. Police at the same time are telling everyone, including would-be criminals, that they're unable to quickly respond to calls for help and that crime victims should just cooperate and comply with the perpetrators. So, ladies, this means if somebody breaks into your home and you live in L.A. and they're intent upon raping you, comply and cooperate. This means if someone breaks in and they're human traffickers and they're going to take your children, comply and cooperate. If they're in there and they want your flat screen TV so bad they're going to kill you, comply and cooperate. Now that's their advice. This on top of the fact that gun control is, that California is a gun controlled utopia. In between the fact that they're saying crime just happens, you just got to learn to live with it, big city stuff. No, you can't buy a gun to protect yourself. That's basically what it boils down to. The newest thing, just in time for the Christmas holidays, is the follow home burglary. So you'll have this would be the equivalent of a bunch of criminals watching you at Haywood Mall. They see you walking to your car somewhere, wherever they've, you know, posted up. They see you putting your packages in your car. They follow you home, and they rob you. Now, it's quite nice that they're willing to warn you about the follow home burglary in L.A., don't you think? But at the same time, you know, you can't do anything to defend yourself, and their recommendation is comply and cooperate. Now, L.A., of course, caved to the defund the police activists. And their city council voted 12-2 to cut $150 million from the police budget for this year. So law enforcement is reduced, and public safety is also similarly reduced. Here's a LAPD press release for you. Due to an increase in violent street robberies, Robbery Homicide Division has become aware of an ongoing crime trend of follow-home robberies. If you're being robbed, do not resist the robbery suspects. Cooperate and comply with their demands. Be a good witness. I'm sure that if you sit there in L.A. and you're being robbed and you're like, listen, could you stand still for a minute? I'm trying to sketch you. Or I'm trying to write down, you know, what you're wearing. Just taking notes. I'm cooperating. I'm sure that's going to work out really well. They also listed six more suggestions as well, all suggesting that you play nice and... or maybe you could change your behavior, the way you do things. All the while, they're never ever saying, but don't worry, we're going to be in there, we're going to bust those cowboys. They don't ever say that. Now, that's the police. Then you have George Soros DA, George Gascon, that has citizens fuming mad. He just recently released a cat named Andrew Cashew, a convicted murderer. This is what they do in order to... They're all against mass incarceration. They want to make you believe that the people in jail today are in jail through no fault of their own. And it is very, and they leave out a very important part. It's very one-sided. There's too many black people in jail. While they never point out where most of these black people come from and why they're in jail in the first place, what precipitated them being in jail. Like the fact that in Chicago, it's been one-party rule since 1931. In California, it's one-party rule. Anywhere where there's one-party rule, all of the things that they purport that they're good, that they want, affordable housing, low crime, low taxation, they're the exact opposite of what they purport to be. And so Gascon, you know, we get this, you know, he's running a social experiment that was dangerous for all of us because his whole goal is to release all these criminals out there in the street and somehow they're magically going to behave. This is according to Samuel Derdulian, an attorney representing several of the victims' families. So you got the top cops who are actually supposed to put people in jail, letting them out. And how does that work? How is it that a DA can walk in there after somebody's been adjudicated and put in jail and release them early? I guess that must be a California thing, too. So they're releasing the violent criminals early, and at the same time, the LAPD is telling crime victims to take it. And now Californians are awake to this. This is not, that wasn't supposed to happen. They're awake to the fact that their safety is in jeopardy, and they better figure out how to protect themselves, since California seems to prefer decriminalizing crime, and instead the crime becomes defending yourself. They have universal background checks. They have a ban on the personal defense weapon, or as they call it, the assault weapon. They have a 10-day waiting period and limits on the number of guns you can buy per month, like one per month. Once you pass the background check, then you got to wait 10 days to get it. You got to cool off. They have a gun registry. They have red flag laws. They have bans on standard capacity magazines. They have a background check on ammo purchases. And on top of all of this, after you pass all that stuff, while they sit there and tell you murder is up 30%, people are following you home now to rob you, they also may issue. They'll get out there and say, well, if you have a compelling need, which is what this Supreme Court case, it's Bruin versus New York State, or New York State Pistol Rifle Association. That's what that's about. May issue. May issue is something where a bureaucrat gets to decide whether you have good cause to obtain a concealed carry permit. Which, that's a system that's very ripe for corruption. In California, though, that's changing too, but it's going to be a long, slow drag. But that's what happens when you don't have a right to self-defense. We'll be right back. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. Ingles Markets Talk Line is 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. You know, since Biden has been in charge, energy prices have shot up nearly 71% since he took office, going from $2.40 a gallon on January 25th to $3.40 a gallon nationwide today. It's cheaper around here, but I don't know what goes on around here. In 8 western most states in the union, plus Pennsylvania, the average goes as high as $4.71 a gallon. This comes on top of a record 69% rise of oil prices that occurred in the interim between his, quote, election, end quote, and the day he took office. And this kind of pricing is known in markets as anticipatory. With pile-on price spikes, apparently the markets didn't anticipate enough. And here are the two responses we've seen from the Biden administration. First, from Bloomberg News. The Biden administration has a new response to soaring oil and gasoline prices as it sees as politically perilous. Blaming big oil. The latest example came Thursday morning when White House Chief of Staff Ronald Klain tweeted a link to an article about decreasing oil prices. Oil prices are falling. Now, when will the industry bring down gas prices? And this came just a day after Joe Biden wrote to the FTC to probe possible illegal conduct in the U.S. gasoline markets in a letter in which he expressed concern about the difference between pump prices and the cost of wholesale fuel, while citing what he said was mounting evidence of anti-consumer behavior by oil and gas companies. He said in his letter, I do not accept hardworking Americans paying more for gas because of anti-competitive or otherwise potentially illegal conduct. At the briefing last week, Ginger Goebbels twice pointed to price gouging as a reason why prices have stayed high, even as oil supplies have risen. Ginger Goebbels, by the way, is Jen Psaki. So he's all got it pinned down. He's got it all pinned down to price gouging, something that Congress and better investigators have investigated many times over the past 50 years at times when the global price of oil went up. They've even pre-accused gas stations of the same in the wake of a foreign cyber attack on the U.S. energy last May. And every single time those investigations come up with nothing, zero. There is no price gouging. Not even price-controlling OPEC can control a global price. There were investigations in 2004, 2006, and 2012, and I know there's been more than that. Back in 2007, the New York Times called the price gouging canard a phantom menace. With this particular notation, the Federal Trade Commission has been skeptical about accusations of price gouging on gasoline prices. 2004, the agency studied price changes in gasoline from 91 through 2003. It concluded that 85% of the price variability, both up and down, reflected changes in crude oil prices. So, these are all sort of wily coyote maneuvers that they do, all these little investigations, and they always come up with zero. And Biden's second solution has been to manipulate prices with the SPR, as I've mentioned earlier. And they announced this like this was a big deal. Today, the president's announcing the Department of Energy will make available releases of 50 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to lower prices to America. That's 2.5 days of stuff. We use about somewhere north of 18 million barrels a day. So let's say it's 18.5. So that's what? That's 37 million barrels, which leaves about 13 million barrels to make up the other 15. So, you know, maybe more than 2.5 days worth of stuff. The reputed plan that went along with it to have other countries release their supplies too is totally dependent on their willingness to keep up their agreement, which few of them actually have a record of doing, even our allies. I mean, I was in Germany in the 80s. I saw how much money they spent on their own defense. So what we see now is the U.S. oil tankers taking U.S. oil from the Strategic Reserve and tanking it to China as part of this three-card Monty deal. And the Chinese are supposed to pay it back when energy prices fall. Go ahead and start holding your breath now for that one. And draining the Strategic Reserve is not what the reserve is for. It's there for an emergency. It's not there for bad policy. It's there to actually to supply the U.S. Navy should there be some kind of catastrophe that halts access to energy. And what happens if we encounter a real emergency? Well, right now, nothing. I guess the Navy will have to get out there and, you know, maybe they can turn their super tankers into hybrids. Not super tankers, super carriers. We're going to go nostalgic in the next hour. We're going to speak to Melanie Bravener. She was the voice of Lucy when we were all children in the Peanuts. Something to get into the Christmas spirit, if you will. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.